Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Romans chapter 12. If you don't, we have it up on the screen for you. You know, before we pray, let me just say this, that, you know, God endeavors. You know, one thing I love about Him is I always wondered who He was. I thought He was mad at me, thought I wasn't good enough, thought that I couldn't measure up. But then I found out who He is. And one of the best ways you can find out how He is by what He's done, right? You know a tree by the fruit. I see apples on a tree and I don't go, hey, I wonder if that's an orange tree. Right? Or you see an orange tree, man, look at those strawberries. Right? You know what it is by its fruit. Well, the fruit of God was mercy and love and kindness and grace and compassion. Praise God. And so I say that to say this, that what He did for you is not just so you can die and go to heaven. If that would have been the case, once we got born again, we just go. But the reason He did that was so we could have an abundant life here on the earth. Blessed, heaven on earth. Be an example. Show people this is why you want God. He wants to take your life and totally turn it around. Even if you say, my life's good, He wants to make it 10 times better. He does. But it's important to recognize there's a God side and a man side. God does His part, but man has to do his part. A lot of people are just expecting the plan of God and the blessings of God to just fall in their lap like a ripe cherry off a cherry tree. It's not how it works. We have a part to play. Now, yes, God is merciful, and God is kind, and God is faithful. But God has laid out things in His Word that if we choose not to cooperate with them, we will not walk into what He has for us. God is not just this God in heaven that just is, que sera, sera, what will ever be, right? Whatever happens, happens. If He just chooses to shine His happy face on you this week, well, you hit the jackpot. But if not, well, just go along and struggle like the dust of the earth that we are. No. The blessings, the provision, the joy, the peace, the victory, it's available to all that will believe. And by believing, you're saying, I trust you, Lord, and I'm going to do it your way. Hallelujah. So it's important because sometimes people in their lives, they're expecting God to move and God's waiting for you to move. And so that's why we're here this morning, to get our help. Amen. To make adjustments, make corrections, to get change, get revelation, get insight, get answers, hallelujah, of how to cooperate with God. We better learn to be skillful with His Word. Gone are the days of the old-time religion like I grew up in, like she grew up in, that just whatever happened, happened. It was just, you had no part in it. Whatever God wanted to do, God wanted to do. Those days are gone, and the devil will eat your lunch living like that. He will. We need to be skillful with what God has said to do and do it to a T and watch God perform what He said He would perform. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Romans chapter 12. We love you, Jesus. We're so grateful and so thankful for the Word of God this morning. It is our answer. It is our help. It is our direction. It is our insight. It is our answer. It is our revelation. It is like a light and a lamp unto our feet. Father, it's the guide to our path. You don't want us to stumble and trip and fall and mess up, Lord, and have heartbreak after heartbreak. No, you want us to live in victory. And even when trials and tests come our way, your plan for us when we're doing it your way is victory, never to be defeated. So, Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to learn this morning. Say what needs to be said. Speak through me, Father, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. They don't need to hear opinions or theories or philosophies or ideas from me. They need to hear words from the throne room of heaven. And so, Father, we thank you that you're going to hit bullseyes here this morning. We thank you we're going to a new level of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. See, my mind is so sold out to the Word of God, I take Sundays and Wednesdays so seriously because I know that is the answer to everybody's life. God is going to get you exactly what you need to hear. Praise God. It's nothing to play around with. It's exciting and wonderful. Praise God. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. It's true. This is how He does things. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 is where we'll start today. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This would be my third fall with my bow that I got 3 years ago. Got a brand new bow, the one that came out that year. It was the top of the one for the bow company's name is Matthews. They make really, really good bows. And at that time, 3 years ago, I got the one that was the top of the line because I had had a bow for a long time. I said, I'm going to upgrade to something good. And When I did, it was the smoothest shooting bow I've ever had. And I got home to practice with it. And I was having trouble getting bullseyes. And I'm not a professional archer by any means. But 20 to 30 yards, which is usually average hunting range for archery, I can hit a bullseye at least 8 out of 10 times. And when I miss a bullseye, it's still in an area where it would be a good kill shot. You know, the vitals on an animal are really quite bigger than a bullseye. But anyways, the point being is that I was all over the map on the target. Sometimes I'd hit the bullseye, sometimes I'd hit the right, sometimes I'd hit the left. And it was starting to drive me a little nutty. Here I had this new bow, paid for it, and I'm thinking, I know I'm holding it the same way every time. I know I'm pulling back the same. I know my arm's the same. I know I'm doing everything the same. I thought I was, and I couldn't figure it out. I hit all over the target. And so I was getting a little frustrated, and so I started looking up things online. They said, do this with your grip. Do this with your arm. Do this with your stance. Do this with your shoulder, the way you point. Do this with your breathing. So I was trying all these things. And I could not, for the life of me, figure it out. I could not hit the same place twice, and that's not good. You should be able to do that. And finally, this is where you're going to find out I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, right? You'd think you'd check some things on the bow. Well, I thought I did, but I didn't good enough. I brought it to the guys that set me up. They said, oh, my gosh, this is the first time we've ever seen this, but your rest, the rest that the arrow lays on, is actually a little bit loose. And so every time you'd shoot and the bow would jar, it'd move that rest and the arrow would be on there just slightly different. So every time I shot, no matter where I aimed, it was going to hit a little different each time. Well, they fixed me up and I went and shot and I was hitting bullseyes. Well, the Bible says here that, and you're saying, what in the world does this have to do? We're talking about bullseyes this morning. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The bullseye for your life is the perfect will of God. That is what you should aim and strive to hit every single day. You say, why would I want to do that? Well, that's where your blessing is. That's where your peace is. That's where your provision is. That's where your health is. That's where your joy is. And that's where your victory is. In the perfect will of God is where all the blessings are. Well, what's the perfect will of God? The perfect will of God is the plan that He has for you. The steps that He's ordered for you to take. He's laid it out for you and said, this is my perfect will for you. Now, if you choose to live on the outskirts of that perfect will, you won't get what the perfect will of God is. Entails, which is all those things I mentioned. And just like I was hitting all over the place on that target, you will hit all over the place in life trying to get that perfect will of God. You'll never get smack dab center of where God wants you, where again, it's blessing for your family, your finances, your business, your job, your health, your mind. Every area and arena of life is affected by being in the perfect will of God. You'll never hit it until you be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by renewing your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You'll never, ever hit the bullseye of the perfect will of God for your life until your mind is renewed. That's what the Word says. Renewed mind means a new way of thinking. Replacing your thoughts with a new thought process. And the Bible says that until you do that, you won't hit that perfect will of God. When you continue to live according to your thoughts and your ways and your feelings and what you think is best, and you continue to do that time and time again, you are going to look like a spotted target that is all, no occasional bullseye hit, occasionally, but all these, all around. Life is too short to live on the fringes. There's too much at stake. When I have kids, I have a family, I have a home, I have health in my own body, and I have a church to live on the outskirts of the perfect will of God. Because I know that's where the blessings are. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And then it goes on to say, all the blessings that talk about being where God wants you to be. Well, if you choose to not dwell under the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, that's your choice. But I'll tell you what, you're missing out. every bit of good that could come your way to the maximum potential for your life is found in that perfect will of God. Amen. Amen. It is. Hallelujah. And you'll never experience it until your mind is renewed. You see, you don't want to think like you think. I'm here to tell you, your thoughts are not the right thoughts. Don't get offended. I'm just repeating what God already said in the Bible. Jake, go to Isaiah 55 and verse 8, please. Your thinking is the problem. Doing things your way is the problem. God says, no, you want the perfect will of God, you better get rid of your thoughts. And you better renew that mind. You better replace it. Hallelujah. For my thoughts... God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Do you see that there? Well, don't you think that God's thoughts are the most perfect, the most blessed, the most holy, the most advantageous thoughts that there could ever be? Absolutely. But he says, my thoughts are not the way you think. I don't think like you think. That's why we must renew our mind to the way God thinks. Or we'll never hit that perfect will of God. You'll never experience it. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Why don't you pull that one up, Jake, please. You must have an understanding and recognize that the way you think is not right. You can be dead set and sold out on a thought process, but if it is not the way God thinks, your job, if you want to hit the perfect will of God, is throw away your way you're thinking and start thinking like he's thinking. There's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We don't go the ways that seem best to us. We go the ways that seem best to God. Amen. We don't do it our way. We don't think our way. Doesn't the Bible say in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding or thinking. He's saying, in all your ways acknowledge me, which he'll tell you what to do it his way. And he said, I'll direct your path. It's time to throw away our stinking thinking, our thought process that isn't godly, that isn't the way of God. Even though as smart as we think we are and as much as we think we got this thing, if it doesn't line up with the way God thinks it, throw it out. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Renewing the mind is a process that must be started and must be continued on a daily basis. James 1 and verse 21. Now, without flipping back there, the second verse in James chapter 1, he starts it by saying, my brethren. That means he's writing this letter to people that are already born again. They're already Christians. They're already saved, okay? What does it mean to be saved? It means your spirit is made brand new, right? You were born again, right? Now, naturally and physically, you weren't born again, but by your spirit, you were born again or made brand new. Well, he's addressing this to my brethren. So he's talking about people that have already undergone that internal change of the spirit. It's important for you to know that, because he goes on in verse 21, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, now notice this, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, now notice what the word can do, which is able to save your souls. Now, if you don't understand what that word souls means there, you'll have a whole wrong perspective and come at it from the wrong angle. This is not talking about saving your spirit from eternal damnation and becoming born again. The letter he's writing to, these people already underwent that change. They already were born again. He's saying the word... when you receive it, not fight it, not push against it, not question it. I'll tell you, I preach sometimes, and you see people's wheels just turn in their mind. Well, I don't really know if I believe that. That's what it says in the Word. Stop questioning it. Stop trying to mentally understand it. He didn't say question the Word. He didn't say push against the Word. He didn't say argue with the Word. He didn't say doubt the Word. He said receive the Word. What does receive the word mean? This is what the word says. I receive it for my life. He said that has the ability to save your soul. Now, the word soul in the New Testament, almost every time it's used, is talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. We're a three-part being. Thessalonians tells us that we are spirit, soul, and body. right? We have a spirit. That's what was born again. That's what lives on forever. We have a spirit that's housed in a body, our earth suit. But we have a mind, don't we? The mind, will, and the emotions. The soulical realm. And he's saying the word, now this is interesting, remember, because the verse before in Romans told us that the way we're going to hit the perfect will of God is to renew our mind. Well, the word here says that the word of God has the ability to save your soul or save your mind. Isn't that what we need?
Yes.
We need saving from ourselves.
Yes.
You know why people struggle time and time again? Because they do it to themselves with the word. They don't want to do it the way God does it. They want to keep doing it their way, and they're spinning their tires. The rut's getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's harder to get out.
Yeah.
I've had people come to me in desperation. Absolute desperation, tears, can't even talk, they're sobbing so hard. And I say, this is what you do to change your life. This is what the Bible says to do it. Come back on Sunday, come back on Wednesday, never see him again. I don't know what they want to hear, what they want to change. They don't want to do it their way. People come to me, financial, hell on earth. Tell them, this is how you're going to get out of your financial tests and trials. Do it this way. Don't do it. The word is there to save you from yourself. I would think if I'm in a heap of trouble, maybe I should stop doing it my way. That's just the way my stupid brain works. That I just, okay, it's not working my way. I might as well try it God's way. Hallelujah. The word will save your soul. So when he says to renew your mind, he's talking about replacing your thoughts with these thoughts. This is the most perfect model for thoughts. This is the perfect thought model.
Amen.
Whatever this says, just think like this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It'll save you from yourself. Well, people will say, I don't really need a pastor yet. The word says you do. I don't really need a pastor, so therefore I'll be unfaithful to church. I might not even go to church. I might not even hear the word. And the Bible says your life will be scattered, harassed, dejected, distressed, bewildered like sheep without a shepherd. That's what God's word says. But know-it-all, body of Christ Christians say, I can do it my own way. Me and Jesus with my Bible at home. Let me tell you something. If you really were you and Jesus with your Bible at home, your Bible and your Jesus would tell you, get your butt to church. Because that's what it says. Well, you know, tithing, oh, that's just a gimmick to get money in the church, and I really don't need to tithe. Yet the Bible says you're robbing God when you don't do it, and that when you don't obey God, the good of the land will not be something that comes your way. Well, I could just do it my own way, and you consult with your mind, and that's the problem.
Right.
You know what the word does for us, ladies and gentlemen? For me anyways, it's like freedom.
Yeah.
The word keeps me safe from my strong thoughts and my strong feelings.
Amen.
When a situation comes financially that tries to tell me I can't tithe, that tries to tell me stop being generous, and it's strong and I start to think on those things, I don't have to go through that whole back and forth war. I just know this is the final authority. Doesn't matter what I think or what I say or what I feel. I've just got to do what this says and I'll be okay.
Yeah.
The problem is people consult their minds. They consult other people. They consult their flesh. Stop it. There's one authority that if you'll live your life by, things will change.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's the truth. The truth that when I did things my own way and people do things their own way, that's where the mess comes from. Start doing it his way. Well, that's renewing the mind. And you better renew your mind. The mind is powerful. Wait till you see some of these things. Go to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. The mind is so powerful. It's a thought process of renewing it to the word of God. Whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever's in there, that's the way my life's going to look. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Look at what the mind has the capability of doing. You will keep him in perfect peace. Let me ask you this. Being kept in perfect peace means a prolonged time there, right? It doesn't mean that something can't come to try to rob it from you, but it means you get right back in and you stay there. Is perfect peace sickness all the time?
No.
I don't know many people that are sick that have perfect peace. Is perfect peace depression?
No.
No, it's not. Is perfect peace anxiety and stress and worry? Is perfect peace poverty?
No.
Many people that I know that are living well beneath what God has provided for them, they don't have much peace in their life. He says, I will keep you in perfect peace. Well, that's what's perfect peace? where the protection is, where the joy is, where the victory is, where the provision is, where the health is, where the safety is, where the favor is, where the blessing of God is. Perfect peace is God's perfect will for your life. Now notice this. I will keep him in perfect peace when God decides to just do it for you. No. I will keep you in perfect peace. What? Whose?
Mind.
Wait, what did it say?
Mind.
Mind is stayed or fixed on thee or on the Word. The Word of God, renewed in the mindset on the Word, has the ability to translate to perfect peace in your life. Perfect peace is not dependent upon the amount of money. It's not dependent upon a doctor's report. It's not dependent upon your circumstances and situations. But notice that if your mind isn't done the right way or you don't do the right things with your mind, perfect peace will evade you. Perfect peace, depending on perfect peace in your life, whether you're going to have or not, depends on what you choose from this point forward to do with your mind. What are you going to do with your mind going forward? Are you going to renew it or are you going to stay thinking the way you think? Well, whatever you do with your mind will be the result. See, we don't understand that how powerful the mind is. You'll never live above your thought life. Your life will only be as good as your thought life is. Why? You get the perfect will of God by your thoughts. You get perfect peace by your thoughts. Go with me to 3 John. 3 John is towards the end of the Bible. There's only one chapter in it. And it's verse 2. Now this is awesome. 3 John verse 2, he says, "Beloved." Again, if you look at that verse, but other verses before, he's talking to people that have already accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Well, we don't give a rip what John wishes. Right? I don't care what John wishes. I care what God wishes. Well, thanks be to God, we have verses that tell us that all Scripture was given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So John didn't just sit around thinking, I think I'll pen this today. No, he got inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this down. Well, what did he write? "Brethren, I wish," or "Beloved, I wish." So he's saying, through what God is speaking to him, that God wishes these things. Right. I wish above all things. Wow, that's a heavy statement.
Sure. Yeah.
That's one of those you'd put an asterisk by, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if the teacher says, "Now make sure, above all things, you pay attention to this part," you're going to perk up, right? Maybe you've been sleeping all class, but you're going to perk up. Well, when I hear that, I perk up. What does God wish above all things? Because if you're a lover of God and you're a truster of God, you know that whatever he wants, you want it for yourself, and that it's only going to bless you.
Right.
"I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health."
Hallelujah.
Your Father, you say, "Well, I thought he wants to get saved." These people are already saved. He's saying, once you're born again, the thing I want for you the most is to prosper and be in health. The same things I can think for my own kids. What better thing would I want for my kids once they accept Jesus than to prosper and be in health? Can't think of anything better. Well, God's a better daddy than we are, right? Of course he's going to want that. But this is what I want you to see. Your prosperity and your health depend on one thing, your brain. He said, I wish above all things that you would prosper. Now listen, prosper's not just money coming in. Prosper's prospering in your family, prospering with your children, prospering in your job. Right?
Yeah.
It's not just financially. Listen, some people in Hollywood, they might have the money, but they sure don't look like they're prospering with some of the things you hear.
Right.
Money's not the be-all. That's good. We like it. We'll take more.
Yeah.
But it's not the be-all, end-all that marks prosperity. Peace is prosperity.
Yeah.
Joy is prosperity.
Yeah.
And he says, I want you to prosper in all areas, just like I'd want my child to prosper.
Yeah.
And be in health. But notice this, even as your soul, mind, will, and emotions prosper. He said your money and your body is going to go as far as your mind goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If your mind prospers, it'll take everything else and prosper with it. Because listen, you are going to live according to how you think.
Right. Yes.
You are. You are going to live according to how you think. If you think a certain way, you're going to act a certain way. Well, if you'll think like God thinks, you'll act like God thinks, and you'll get like God has.
Oh, that's good.
Hallelujah. Yep. I remember I told this story about when Dr. Dufresne, I was up in Canada for a Pastor Nancy, Dr. Dufresne meeting, and he called out someone that was desperately in finances. And I stood up, And because I was, it was about 3 years ago, and this church was really struggling financially in the natural at the time, and us personally were the same way, and it was a pretty desperate financial situation. So that sounded like my situation. So I got hands laid on me, and broke the power over that. But there was more that was needed. You see, the Bible says we can cast the devil out of people. It does. Jesus said, in my name, these signs will follow them that believe. One of the signs is they shall cast out devils. The devil's a loser. You have authority over him. I remember I was at the hotel in Olean before we moved into our current building. And a gentleman came up to me after service. He didn't come to church, but he was staying there. He was on a business trip, I believe, or seeing family. He was from out west. Actually, he was from California because I tried to get him hooked up with Pastor Nancy's church. And he came to me, and he was just, you could tell, stressed and sweaty, and just, Jake was there. He saw this, and he said, Pastor, he said, I have a devil. He said, I am full out, I know I'm possessed of the devil. He said, well, is that real? That's absolutely real. We see it in the Word all over the place. He said, I'm possessed with the devil. I said, well, good news, brother. If you don't want that devil to be there, Jesus said, we can cast that thing out of you. We can cast that thing out of you. He's like, I'd love that. Let's do that. I mean, and he was excited about that. So I laid my hands on. I said, in the name of Jesus, you devil, you come out of him. Well, he has to obey that. The devil has to obey that. Now, if he wants to keep that devil, he can't. I don't have any authority. But if he asks for it, we can partake of the word and do what the word says. Amen. Well, after he did that, I didn't just say, go your way, your life will be great. And I said, now, if you want that thing to stay gone, you better do something with your mind. Wrong thinking allowed that devil to come onto your mind. You need to get into a church, you need to get into the Word, and you need to renew your mind to God's way of thinking. Well, when I got hands laid on me by the prophet of God who has an anointing to break things off, he broke that thing off me, but the next day, Pastor Nancy come by behind the prophet and started teaching on what I needed to do. Remember when the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, she had a sickness for 12 years? She grew nothing better, but rather grew worse, spent all that she had. She was in a terrible position, but she heard that Jesus was in her town. She came through the press. She touched his garment, and she was healed, right? But notice Jesus said to her, he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. But he didn't just say, oh, go on, life will be wonderful. He said, go in peace and be continually or keep your healing by going in peace. Basically, he's saying to her, if you go in anything but peace, that thing's going to get right back on you. What's peace come from? The brain. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, Jesus was saying, it ain't about the physical realm. He's saying, you want to keep your healing? It comes through your mind. I wish above all things that you'd be in health as your mind prospers. So she taught the next morning and stood in front of me for 90% of that service and talked about how you have to renew your mind to what the Bible says financially, that the Bible already calls us rich. We're not going to be rich when the money shows up. We have to renew our minds to the fact that we're rich right now. And I said, I receive my correction and my help. Thank you, Lord. I'm rich right now. And because I'm rich right now, the money has to come. Because money follows a rich person. But when you finally get convinced in your mind of what the Bible says that you're rich right now, it's the same with healing. Brother Hagin called a healing line one time and people came up and stood in front of him. And he was waiting for people to come up and he was just walking the platform, you know, back and forth. And he said this under his breath, and it was picked up by the microphone. He said, you do all realize that you're already healed. And then he said, oh, wait. If you did, you wouldn't be coming forward. What he's saying is the Bible says you're already healed. You're not healed when the manifestation shows up. You were healed when Jesus was put on the cross, biblically. And until you renew your mind to that, get your mind right, healing and prosperity will evade you. Oh, I'll be rich and I'll be healed when the money and the symptoms go away. No, that's not how God operates. That might be how you operate in your mind, but God's not you. God thinks different than you. His ways are different than you. He says you believe it before you see it, and then you'll see it. You won't see it until you believe it before you see it. Boy, that's a tongue twister. I'm surprised I got that all out in one sentence. Without tripping, oh, there you go. It doesn't take long, and you'll see my humanity. Oh, I'm not the most eloquent of speakers. But anyways, as your mind, and I got my mind renewed, I'm rich right now. And therefore, it might not look it like it in the natural, but I don't go by the natural. The spiritual says, I'm rich Therefore, money comes, and guess what? The money came. It all came. Praise God. Hallelujah. So your mind can be the thing that leads you into perfect peace. It can be the thing that leads you into prosperity and health. But also your mind can be used for very, very bad things. Go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. God's good.
Amen.
Got to renew your mind.
Praise God.
1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I'm going to show you about your mind and how the devil can work with your mind. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Well, that means if we were to say to somebody later today, at 11:30, 11:45, I departed from Family Church in South Dayton. That would tell us that you were here, that you were once here. I departed from there. It means, they were there then, right? Some shall depart from the faith. Guess what that means? They were in it. They were living it. They were walking the faith lifestyle. They were experiencing what the Bible says about faith. And then they departed from it. Walked away from it. Turned away from the ways of God. Turned away from the faith lifestyle. Turned away from doing it the Word's way. Some shall depart from the faith. Well, how in the world can that happen? And ladies and gentlemen, I have seen it, and so have you. I'm sure you've seen it in your life. People go in the way of God, go in the way of faith, and boom, detour. Depart from the faith. How can that happen? This is how it happens. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All doctrines of devils are is anything that's not the Word of God. Anything that is contradictory to the Bible is a doctrine of a devil. And the Bible says when people give heed to those seducing spirits, it causes them to depart. Well, how does a seducing spirit work? It doesn't work through force. It doesn't work through physical force and pulling you and grabbing you. No. It works through, what is a seductive way? A suggestion, right? A thought. Hey, come over here. Hey, it's better over here, right? Do it this way. You might think, prove it more. Well, let me just say it this way. The devil works in the thought realm arena. Why? Because he knows that's the arena that is. Your victory is won or lost in your thought life.
Yeah, that's good.
Whether or not perfect will of God for you, we saw it in Romans 12 too. All has to do with what you do with your mind. Yeah. So the devil knows if that's the arena that causes him victory, that's the arena I got to get him to trip up in. That's the arena I got to get him to stumble. And this is where we need to be on guard and understand that not every thought that you get is a godly one.
Right.
Not every thought that you get is something you should act on.
Right.
I don't care how strong it is. Because the devil works in the thought life. The only power Satan has is the power of suggestion. You say, no, that's not true. The only power. Because the Bible says your mind can get you into health. Your mind can get you into peace. Your mind can get you into prosperity. Devil can't keep you out of there, only your mind can.
Yeah.
Only your thought life can keep you out of those things.
Yeah.
So the Bible says that seducing spirits will seduce people to depart from the faith. Well, think about Adam and Eve. Back in the garden, in Genesis chapter 1, God told Adam and Eve, I'm giving you the power over the earth, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said, I'm giving you dominion over the planet. You're in charge now. Well, something happened because in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says that the devil is the god of this world. It says that Satan is the god of this world. Look it up. It calls him the prince of the power of the air. He is in charge of the planet. Now you know why it's in a mess.
Yeah.
Well, God, let me just say it this way. If God is in control of what's going on down here, he's doing a horrible job. And he's severely unqualified because he's got this place in a mess, but he doesn't. He's not the thief. He's not the stealer, the killer, and the destroyer.
Right.
Now, he's not in charge of the Christian, but the devil's in charge of planet Earth. Well, what happened? God gave Adam and Eve the keys, and now the devil's got the keys to the planet. Well, we know in Genesis chapter 2, the devil came by, didn't he? God said, don't eat from one tree in the garden. Everything else you can eat, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, the devil came along with a doctrine of himself and said, what has God said? And then Eve said, well, God said this. And what did the devil say? You can eat from that tree. And if you do eat from that tree, he sweetened the deal. He said, your life will get so much better. You'll be like gods. That's what he said. Now, there's a situation, an example, how the devil works. Because the authority for the planet was up for grabs. Don't you think he's going to use his best tactic that he has? When a team plays for the Vince Lombardi Trophy in February for the Super Bowl, they don't look at their playbook and say, I know that play would work against that team and we could score a touchdown with that team, but let's just wait till next year. No, they throw their best plays. Well, of course the devil, when such a prize was up for grabs, is going to throw his best play. Well, what was the only play he had on Adam and Eve? Suggestion. Seduce them. How did he seduce them? You can eat from that tree, and when you do, life will get better. You don't need to tithe. Stop tithing for a month and see how much more money you have. You don't have to go to church. Just read your Bible at home. You'll get to sleep in Sunday and have all that time at home. Well, all those things that he's saying might seem sweet in the natural, but the problem is they completely violate what this book says. Oh, that forgiveness message is okay, but what this person did to you, it is far beyond forgiveness. They don't deserve forgiveness. I don't care what that pastor's saying. And he'll say that to you and make you think and thoughts like, oh man, that's right, I was really wronged. When the Bible says every single thing that's ever been done to you, your responsibility is forgive it. Or your faith will hurt. Doesn't mean you're not justified for feeling a certain way. It doesn't mean that you weren't wronged. But God says you want your faith to work, you'll forgive. But the devil will come and give you thoughts. Ah, you don't have to do that. Ah, oh, you don't have to walk in love. Oh, I know you're not married yet, but you love her, and it's okay to do that stuff. Well, that's wrong, because the Word says it's not. Oh, but you know you're going to get married someday. Seducing spirit. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, and the devil knows it. If I can get him to obey me, he's saying, I can get him into a whole heap of trouble. And the only way he can get people to obey him is to deceive them. To say things to them. Your finances are, the Bible says, my God will meet all your needs. Your finances are low and your bills are stacked to the ceiling. And thoughts come like, you'll never pay this off. You'll never get out of financial freedom. Or you'll never get to financial freedom. You'll never be blessed. Your choice, which one are you going to think on? The Word or what the devil's saying? He'll seduce you. Didn't he do it to Jesus? Took Jesus in Luke chapter 4, took him up on a high mountain, told him three things. Said, jump off a cliff, turn the stone into bread, and bow down and worship me. He suggested things. If the devil could have killed Jesus, he would have. You say, he did on the cross. No. Jesus laid his life down on the cross. Remember, he said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it back. The Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels, legions of angels, to get him off that cross. No devil, no Pilate, no Romans. They don't blame them. Jesus did it himself out of love. If the devil and the devil knew what was coming, he would have loved to kill Jesus before he got to that cross and bore the sin of mankind. Why didn't he just kill Jesus? Because he couldn't. But the way he could get him was to suggest to him. And Jesus didn't bite it. Praise God. Why? His mind was renewed to the Word. His mind was renewed to the Word. I've seen people, faithful people. I saw in a service one time, a gentleman on the front row jump up when I was preaching on faith and say, amen, pastor. Person had never done it ever. Mild-mannered, sweet individual. Just very quiet. Jumped out of their seat in front of the whole church and amened me. I thought, wow, he's on board. Saw the same person after a Wednesday night service. That was a Sunday. Wednesday came. Hug me. Give me a hug. Shake my hand. Say, pastor, I love you. I'll see you Sunday. Haven't seen him since. Years ago. Got a phone call the very next day. Pastor, we're leaving the church. Not from him. It wasn't from him. Somebody else involved. Pastor, we're leaving the church. We don't believe anything you're saying anymore. That's what they said. Don't believe anything you're saying anymore. And what you need to know, too, is that same people testified in front of people. This was years ago, by the way. Testified how blessed they were since they started coming to the church and learning what they were learning. Well, how can that happen? Because I don't change my messages. How can you be on board for years and then all of a sudden say, we don't believe anything you're saying? Go back in the archives. In fact, you're here every week. I say the same stuff over and over again. I tell the same stories over and over again. Why? I don't have any new material. There's only so much I can work with here. It's true, right? I don't have anything new to say. I'm not smart enough to stand up here and say something on my own. How does that happen? A seducing spirit comes and tells them something, and there's more things I can't get into, and pull them away. I've seen it over and over again. People tell you they love you. They're excited about God. And one little thing happens. They get mad at somebody, and thoughts start coming. Devil pulling them away. Pulling them away. Situation happens in their life financially. They get a little bit of financial bind. So what do? Stop doing the Word of God. Oh, it's dangerous. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I saw it happen. It's the truth. That's just one. We could be here till tonight telling you stories. I saw at the Jamestown Church a family who their son had a hole in his ear, good size, and the doctor said it's incurable. I saw Pastor Tim lay his hands on that little boy, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, we can't figure this out. The hole is gone. I saw the same family, the wife, have a back injury and told that she'd never walk again. I saw her get hands laid on her, and she's completely vibrant and healthy now. I saw that, and I saw the same people absolutely leave that place that was blessing them because wrong thoughts came in about other people in the church and different things. They grasped onto those seducing spirits and departed from the faith. I tell you, we could go story after story after story. Right. Stick with the Bible and it won't happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 said, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So he's saying our weapons are given for the purpose to pull down a stronghold. Well, if we're given weapons to pull down a stronghold, you use weapons against your enemy. Evidently, the enemy's goal is to get you into strongholds. Well, what does that even mean, strongholds? If he wanted to bind Jesus and stop him from going to the cross, he'd have put Jesus in a stronghold and held him, right? Squeezed him, not let him do what he could do. That's not what it's talking about. What is a stronghold? Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. That's what we're to do. What's an imagination? Where's that come from? Thought life, right? Cast down imaginations and every high thing. Now remember, stronghold's the goal. If you don't do what verse 5 says to do, a stronghold will come into your life. And I'll explain a stronghold. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? The Word is the knowledge of God. If a thought or a situation arises that boasts itself to be something contrary to the Word, let's just say it this way. Your bills are stacked to the ceiling. You know what's in your checkbook. And the thought is you'll never pay these off. You'll never be financially free. That is a thought and an imagination that is exalting itself against the very thing that the Bible says can happen in your finances. Well, the Bible says, what do you do with that? Do you sit there and think on that and sit there and, oh my gosh, it's so terrible, or a doctor's report or a situation, oh, it's so terrible. No, you cast those down and you bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. That's called renewing your mind. When a thought comes about your money, about your body, about your family, about your kids, about your job, about your life, that does not line up with the Bible, you bring it to the Bible, you find out, what does the Word say about this? You throw away the other thing, and you stick with the Bible. It is so foundational and so basic that sometimes I feel like, I wonder if they even think I know anything at all about this stuff because it's so simple. But that's the whole point of it all. It's simple so we can do it all. The problem is when you get a thought about your body, you get a thought about your money, you get a thought about your kids, and it's strong, and the devil tries to get you to believe it by repeated sayings. They're called fiery arrows is what the devil shoots. So he sits there and launches thought after thought after thought after thought into your head because he knows the more I say it, the more apt they're to believe it. Just because he says that you're not going to make it financially, and just because he says that sickness is going to take you out, just because he says it 100 million times in a day doesn't make it more true. Still just a big fat lie. Yeah, right. The Word is truth. The Word is truth. The Word is truth. Yeah. Oh, see, when you don't have enough money, that's not a problem when you're thinking right. Right. When you got symptoms in your body, doesn't matter when you're thinking right because you know what the result will be. Cast down imaginations. and every high thought, or the thought that exalts itself against God. I was, give me 5 more minutes. I was, you know, when I got born again, I thought there's no way God can use me. If you read chapter 6 of the book God Had Me Write, I share a little bit about my past, filled with gambling and immorality and putting things in my body that never should, you know, just doing things that you wouldn't even dare say or talk about. That's who I used to be. And when I got born again, I struggled. I thought, my God, I don't, am I even saved? You know, is it even able to be saved? Is God going to be able to use someone like me? Well, I had a choice. I can either believe those thoughts and those feelings, which were strong about my past and real. They were true. Everything I was getting accused of, I was like, yep, did that. Yep, I was there. Did that. Put that in my body. Did that with my body. Did that with my eyes. Did that with my hands. Did that. Was there. Did that with my money. Oh, man. So I had a choice. Well, that's what my feelings and my thoughts say. Or I could believe what the Bible says, which is when you get born again, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. He's made me to be the righteousness of God, right? So renewing my mind, here I struggled with this condemnation and this guilt. I took those thoughts and I brought them to the Bible. The Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Everything I did in my past is gone. I'm a new creation. It's not even like God bandaged me up. He made me brand new. I'm a new creation that's never existed on this planet before. You might say I did all that stuff. You might point to all that stuff, but I'm here to tell you that wasn't me. I know what you're talking about. I remember that guy, but it wasn't me. Wasn't me. I'm not. I've never been immoral. I've never struggled that way. I've never struggled with being lack of character. I've never struggled with being a cheater and scandal and all this stuff. Never have ever struggled with that stuff. I'm brand new, made in the image of my God. I'm the righteousness of God, so deal with it. Your pastor is as righteous as Jesus Christ himself. Yeah. What is it like to have a perfect pastor? Is it awesome? Because I know it's awesome to have perfect sheep. Because my Bible says that you're the same way, that you've been made the righteousness of God. And if you'll see yourself in Him and ask Him to forgive you, He wipes you clean as if you never did it wrong. That means you ask for forgiveness. You now stand in perfection. I mean, we should change it from family church to the perfect church. Because that's who we are. Hallelujah. I'm the righteousness of Him. I'm not a loser. I'm not worthless. He's got a plan for my life. Amen. That's the way you need. That's renewing your mind to the Bible. Well, then, to finish this out and to close it out, Joshua 1:8. How then do we do this? Joshua 1:8. You see, some of you, now I'm going to hit some hot buttons in here because I'm talking about this church. Some of you have such a poverty mentality in here. You are convinced that you're always going to be struggling. You are convinced that you'll never live above and be financially free. Some of you have a sickness mentality in here, that whatever you're facing and going through, you're convinced that's your lot in life. And that's what you're going to have to take and accept for the rest of your life. Some of you are convinced in here, in this building today, that you're worthless, that you're a nobody, that you've made too many mistakes, that your past is too filled with wrong things to have you go do anything good in the future. Some of you have those thoughts, right? Absolutely. Those are all wrong thoughts. Those are all thoughts that need to be renewed to the Word of God. And there might be other things that people are struggling with and things. You got to get your mind renewed to what the Word says. Joshua 1 and verse 8 says, this is how you renew your mind. Remember, he said, the Word can save your soul or save your mind. So we need the Word to be a part of this. How do you renew your mind? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So the Bible says to be speaking it, be meditating it. Well, what does that look like? You got bills stacked to the ceiling and your checkbook's low? It's you going around saying, my God shall supply all my needs. I remember Dr. Dufresne would tell the story. He was out back at a dinner with Brother Hagin, and he'd see Brother Hagin mumbling something. And he kept pulling up close to him. Well, this was when Brother Hagin was going through a major test financially and building everything they built in Oklahoma for all the schools and the Bible school and the church. And he wanted to know, what's he saying? He's over there mumbling something. And he went and he scooted up to him and he just kept hearing Brother Hagin say, all the money will come. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. all the money will come. It'll come to pass. What was he doing? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. He was renewing his mind to what the word said, not what the circumstances said. It shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That means constantly have the word before you, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall you make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Prosperity and good success sound like the perfect will of God to me. I remember, I struggled with depression to the point of being suicidal. And those thoughts started coming on me years ago, after I was born again. And hardcore depression and hardcore worthlessness, just attacked with it like crazy. And I said, man, I'm not enjoying living like this. Well, depression and anxiety and fear and worry, it's wrong thinking. And I thought, well, okay, I better start acting like I know what the Bible says. The Bible says to be transformed. Well, I want to be transformed from this to joy and peace and victory. So I got a message on condemnation that Pastor Nancy Dufresne preached. And I kid you not, in a year's time, I listened to that thing over 1,000 times to the point that I could recite it. I knew every stutter that she had. I was starting to preach in her Oklahoma accent that she had. I could say every pause. I could put the CD on and I could speak it exactly like she did. And when she would stop and pause, I'd come right back when she'd say the next verse. Is this true or not true? Absolutely true. I'd be working and I'd be driving to work and working, and I just would be speaking that message all day long. Whenever I go to lay in bed, whenever I get in the shower, whenever I wake up, I'd be speaking the word on condemnation. Why? Because I needed to renew my mind that God had a plan for me, that God is not done with me, that God has a future for me, that God is good and God forgives and God's loving. Say, you had to do all that to get that? It was worth it. It was worth it. There's a lady from the Jamestown church. She struggled so much to the point where she was in such fear, she'd sit in her garage. Hours a day, her husband would go to work, and she'd sit in the garage and just stare out the window, gripped with fear. Wouldn't move, wouldn't eat, wouldn't go to the bathroom, wouldn't do anything. Someone from the church found out through an acquaintance and got to this girl. And couldn't get her to church. But what they did is they gave her CDs from myself and Pastor Tim, stacks of them. And they said to her, we know you go in here and sit when your husband leaves. She just had so many mental problems. He said, could you just do one favor? If we get you a CD player, can we plug the CD player in the garage? And while you're sitting there all day, can we just put the Word of God on repeat so it plays over and over? She said, yeah, you can do that. She sat there, and within months, she was completely free. I'm talking about years of doing this to hearing the Word for 8 to 10 hours a day. Her mind getting renewed. The power of the devil broke off her life. Now her and her husband wanted nothing to do with God, but she got so delivered and set free. He's like, what in the world happened to you? She told him, and he said, I got to have some of this. Yeah. They're now in church serving faithfully, and she's free. How? All through her thought life. You got to renew your mind. If you want to change, if you want to get in the perfect will of God, you got to renew your mind that this is your thought life. This is your thought process. What you do with money is based on what this says. What you do in your marriage is based on what this says. What you do with other people is based on what this says. What you do and how you raise your kids is based on what this says. That's how you'll get the perfect will of God. Stop thinking you know best and understand that God knows best. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, thank you for the word. Let's thank him for the word. We love you, Jesus, for the help you give us. Lord, you want to take us to a new level. Oh, the perfect will of God. You want that for our lives more than we do. You paid for it. You gave us Jesus for that to happen. And Lord, I just hope that people realize that the perfect will of God is where it's at. It's not a struggle in the perfect will of God. It's not frustrating and chaotic and turmoil. There's peace in that perfect will of God. So I pray that people would throw out their way of thinking and doing things and conform unto the Word of God and take you at your word, Father. And regardless if they've thought a certain way for 20, 30, 40 years, if you've said to think different, we'll think different, Father. I thank you for such good things that are ahead for people, Father. Better tomorrows, Father. A better future. A more faith-filled, peace-filled, prosperity-filled, health-filled, joy-filled future for people. If they'll just do it your way, if they'll just do it the way that you said to do it, Father. Such good things await. Thank you, Lord. And Father, those wonderful things that await us, like health and prosperity and peace and joy, they're great. But the greatest thing you ever did for us, and the greatest thing that is available to us, is salvation through Jesus. Father, you said in your word, if we would believe in Jesus, if we would believe that he died and rose again, and if we would ask him to come into our heart, that he would take up residency, he would forgive us from everything we've done wrong, he would prepare an eternal dwelling place for us in the heavens, and he would be a dad to us here on this earth, to bless us, to guide us, to provide for us, to heal us, to show us and direct us. So if you're here today, if I could ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes, please, nobody looking around. I'm not trying to be bossy, and if you close your eyes and say, oh, I'm just submitting to that pastor, I'm doing it for everybody around you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today, and you can hear my voice, if you're listening by the internet, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on the planet, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that, my answer is, you're darn right I'd go to heaven. And when I ask myself, well, how do I know that? I know it because the Bible says so. The Bible says if I accept Jesus, I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm his child. It doesn't have anything to do with how much church or how little church you've had. It doesn't have anything to do with how good or how bad you've been. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money or how little money you've given. It has everything to do with Jesus. Because how would we know how to give enough? How would we know how good to be? How would we know how much church to go to? It doesn't have anything to do with that stuff. It has everything to do with Jesus. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, I promise you one thing. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you to the front. I won't have you stand up. I'm not going to have you say anything on your own. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, and you want to, and you can say, Pastor, I do believe in the Lord. Nobody's asking you to be a member of this church. Nobody's asking you to do anything except believe in Jesus. It's a free and simple gift. Don't let it pass by. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything. He died willingly and freely for you. But heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, if you can say, I want to get in on this, I believe in him, would you just raise your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus this morning so I can see it? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. I don't like to rush this because sometimes people are shy. But my God, it's the best decision you could ever make. See, the reason I stayed away from God for so long is because I thought he was horrible. I thought he was mad at me. I thought it meant when I became a Christian that life got hard and worse. No, life got better. Life got fulfilling. Life had a purpose now. Life, there was a promise of victory and all these things. He loves you. He's merciful. He cares about you. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus that has not raised their hand that would like to receive Jesus before I close this service? Just slip your hand in there and put it right back down. Anybody at all? Don't let this day pass you by. Father, we had a couple hands. Thank you for those hands. Father, and I know it's not the raising of the hand that gets us born again. So if you're here today and you were shy and you didn't raise your hand, or if you're listening by live stream right at the moment or on the archives in the future, you can join in with us. But if you're here and you raised your hand, there's only one thing left for you to do. And again, I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't have to worry about anything. It's just ask the Lord into your heart to confess that you believe. That's it. But we're going to all do that with you. You're not even going to have to think of what to say. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and the whole church, we're going to pray it together so nobody will know it's you. It's nothing to be embarrassed about, but I know people don't like to be singled out. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you raised your hand, or if you know you should have and you didn't, and you want to receive Jesus and you want what the Bible says you can have, just go ahead and say this after me with the whole church. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died
on the cross
for my sins.
I believe
that you rose again
from the dead.
And I ask you to come into my heart
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, before you rush out of here, it's important that people that know that did raise their hand or should have, and it's important for us to be patient with this, that the next step for you, you're on your way to heaven. Church attendance doesn't get you into heaven. But it's time for you to plant yourself in a Bible-teaching church. Love for it to be here, but it doesn't have to be here. Get somewhere where they're teaching the Bible. Find out what God has said about your life. Start doing what God has said about your life and watch Him change it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, have an awesome rest of your Sunday. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. We'll see y'all then, and Sunday morning. You're dismissed.
To the table.